folks, we'll just call them. Okay, folks, we'll just call the meeting to order. We're past a lot of time. Any apologies? I currently have apologies for Bailey, Brian, Karen, and Charvin. Any others? Anyone else? No. Okay. Declarations of interest? Okay. Chairman's remarks. Well, I just want to put it in. Guys, he's all right at the back there. Do you just want me to give you a moment? No. Let me know when you're ready. Okay. I just want to put on record to commend the staff that we have in our council for the work that they did over the floods, and all the outside agencies that worked diligently to ensure safety and sandbags, etc., were all delivered. A lot of work has been done, and I sometimes don't think our staff get enough credit. So credit where credit's due. They all worked extremely hard. So here you go. So,
Chairman, just based on that there, in terms of, I got a note from Ian Sands. As you probably know, there is still a yellow warning on. Council do not supply sandbags. What we do is facilitate other agencies supply sandbags. So anybody that contacts you looking for sandbags, they should go through to the initial flood incident helpline, because that also helps record where the issues are in terms of, so somebody phones in whereabouts the flooding is, and it means that it can be mapped, and it actually provides information for further on. So it's extremely important that, you know, there's no point in ringing the council for the sandbags. They need to go through to the relevant agencies. And again, most people will know that the flood helpline is 0300 2100. So just to make that point, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Declan, you want to
Chair, just on that generally, and I know that there wasn't very many, well, what I can make out, there wasn't very many houses actually flooded, but certainly I come across a couple of businesses that suffered damage, and because of their close proximity, especially the Clanroy River, they're very reticent to claim off their insurance because of the fear that they won't, that it'll actually put their premiums up to a considerable level. But the £1,000, when I did inquire about the £1,000 compensation, that would have helped them certainly part of the clean-up process, which they did have to do, certainly in near home in the Derelict area, that £1,000, I actually was disappointed to learn that wasn't available to businesses,
no,
but just to houses, because, you know, given the circumstances, they are businesses, they are, at the end of the day, livelihoods that are suffering and did suffer and are currently suffering. I thought that certainly there would be a case made for that to be extended to any small business in any of those floodplains, you know.
Chairman, the £1,000 is an executive initiative. We are basically facilitate that. So any expansion of the scheme, actually, whenever there is flooding, the executive write to us, the minister writes to us and says that the grant is now available because of the flooding. So it's really an executive. All we do is we facilitate the visit and the award of the money, and then we claim that back from central government. So there's nothing really we can do with that, Chairman.
Okay, with council agreement, we can do that. Everybody in agreement? Okay. I know Councillor Clark thinks it's waste time, but it may not be. Councillor Burns?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. Just to say that on the flooding, it was actually the second time that the council had to put their emergency plan into action over the Christmas period. There was a house fire in Castlewellan where the council had to go into emergency plan mode. And just on behalf of the people that were affected by that, just to put on record their thanks to the council and to Liam and all the officers for putting their time in, especially with this Christmas period. So thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Burns. Councillor Highland?
Yeah, Chair, is this... councillors are constantly being asked to intervene at times like this. In one way, it's a good thing because it shows that there is a real connect between councillors and the people that they represent. 4 years ago, I got a phone call whilst on holiday in Fortaventura from a very anxious elderly person in Carnforth Park in Uri. A tree had blown down outside his house. he explained that to me, and I said, listen, I'm 4,000 miles away here in Fortaventura. There's not much I can do about it at the moment. He says, but what are you going to do about it? That's the reality. You know, I'm just saying, people do expect when they phone up and have contact with their councillors that they can intervene in some way to help them. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Donnelly.
Thank you. Regarding the flooding issues as well, I was dealing with one particular case and rang Roads NI because it was a road, you know, it was a water pond in a particular road and a number of houses were cut off. When I got through to that number, the person on the other end, there were phones ringing all over the place, and he was finding it very difficult to have time to speak to me. I could hear the phones ringing in the background. So I said to him, you know, you're not on your own there. But he was actually on his own. And I'm just wondering, like in a crisis situation really, should there be more help there? And is there anything that we can do about that? I would also say that I would have to compliment that particular person that I spoke to, because within 10 minutes he came back to me and an engineer was on his way out. So he did act on it. But the thing is that there's one person there, phones ringing all over the place, and, you know, very hard for one person to deal in an emergency situation. Can the council write to them, or is there anything?
Chairman, again, the flood helpline is done through Network NI, so it's a call centre. So yes, therefore, it should deal with, and that's why it's important to use that, because they log the calls, and indeed they provide us, you know, with the list of the calls. So if there's flooding issues, we can pick up where the flooding issues are that from. If you include the Transport NI office, conscious that it's the holiday period and they're relying on, I suppose, Network NI to deal with it. So at this point in time, there's nothing we can do. We provide assistance, and indeed we had people on you know, working sort of 24 hours from the council from really by Tuesday right through until with people on call right up till this morning. So, you know, we provide assistance when requested, but again, we need to be requested from the agencies, because we are not the lead agency, either from a Rivers Agency point of view or a Transport NI point of view.
No, in this case, there was also an issue about, you know, no signage at the particular location. So cars could just have, you know, driven straight into it. So they provided the signage and all. So it was a good experience, you know, really, that they had come out and acted immediately. And you know, they weren't able to obviously to alleviate the flood, but it's an ongoing issue in this particular area about, you know, piping and so on. So they had been out a year ago, and
I think we can pick it up, Councillor Donnelly. Yeah. You know, in terms of, again, maybe when we have the meeting with Transport NI to raise that, I would say, however, one of the big issues that was being highlighted to me on the conference calls, certainly on Thursday morning, Wednesday, Thursday morning, was actually people moving the signs. Flooding and the thing, moving away the signs, and cars getting abandoned in water. And again, I know you've probably seen the PSNI on the social media saying is they will start to take action against people who remove signs, because what you have is fire service dealing with issues and pumping out areas and actually being called to deal with cars who had driven into a flood because people had moved the sign and drove around it. So again, maybe something for the press to pick up. You know, it's like all these things, agencies only have limited manpower, but people need to be responsible in their actions during these times of crisis.
Thank you.
Councillor Brian Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. While the response has been reasonably good with the flooding over Christmas, this flooding is happening every year, not just at Christmas. And like Councillor Donnelly, my issue is with some of the rural roads. Now, there's a couple of areas in my own DA that I have been reporting every time there's rain. Not heavy rain, every time there's rain. Because there is no maintenance being carried out. You think over a 4 or 5 year period since I joined council that some would have done a wee bit of maintenance to reduce some of this flooding. When it's happening again and again and again in the same spot, and they send a tanker out which sucks away a bit of surface water and drives away, and the next time it rains, it's just right back to square one again. They're going to have to get serious. If they're going to clear flooding or reduce flooding, they're going to have to do proper maintenance, because we don't need this crisis to be hitting our residents every time we get a bit of rain. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Quinn. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. And I would concur with the remarks in regards to thanking all the staff as well, from both the Council and all the other statutory bodies and volunteers as well. In regards, my point is in regards to coastal flooding, where areas are prone to flooding on an annual basis, like Councillor Quinn says, where you may have, you know, a dozen houses, and where Rivers Agency wouldn't see the benefits, the economic benefits of putting in flood defences in regards to that. I would like us to write till, I think Rivers Agency is the lead body in regards to coastal flooding, but not just coastal flooding. Areas which are prone to flooding on an annual basis should be entitled to grants to secure their properties. And I think that would be, you know, good use of resources in regards to the public being able to avail of grants to do that. I know it has been discussed in the Assembly previously, but I think we should resurrect that discussion in regards to people, and for small amounts of money, you could actually remedy a lot of these problems. So I'd like to propose that we do right till, I would say it's probably OFM, DFM asking them to consider that.
Thank you. What's that? All council will agree.
That number for the ring for the soundbite. Right, I'll get you the number here.
Councillor Henry Riley, we'll pass over you because you're on the phone. Okay. Yeah, which you shouldn't be on when you're in here. So anyhow, Councillor Casey.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I just want to agree with Councillor Quinn there. Maintenance is a big issue. I don't know many times we've asked it, both in this council and the legacy council, that DOE, for
Councillor Riley, would you like to take that outside?
Jim Alistair, please.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, but believe it or not, it's a man who's just phoned me. His house is completely flooded.
No, that's okay. It's just somebody else trying to speak here. How do you know that before you answered it? Go on.
Near East City anyway, there are areas which flood every year, roads and streets, and it's clearly obvious that it's involved, typically, obviously a block for some reason, or maybe an ICA many came before. People have not been doing renovations in that data cement mixture down the gully, and they've never been cleaned. Things like that do happen, but I think we should write to them again, talk for them ahead, or the next time we're in here, we call it to them, that they do a review of all of the gullies, right throughout the difference.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Cadogan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've just completed the very long-winded process to represent the Council on the Drainage Council in Northern Ireland. And basically, the whole situation with floods and drainage is only going to get worse rather than better. There are all sorts of other issues, of course, with this area in the fact that a lot of the cleaning of shores has been outsourced and doesn't get done as regularly as it used to, I think we all know. I know that just from personal experience, I was meeting with the NI Water over sewage spills in the coil there just before Christmas. And we had the catchment area people, we had the Environment Agency, we had the NI Water on behalf of the sewage, we had the contractors for the sewage works, we had seven agencies and all represented. And whilst we were there standing on St. Patrick's Square, the centre of Downpatrick flooded because the shores hadn't been cleaned. And we had a situation where the water was in parts a foot deep. But the seven agencies there, we had to adjourn because of the heavy rain up to the St. Patrick's Centre. The seven agencies there couldn't have anything to do with that because it was two separate agencies that were responsible for the pumping out of water from the town centre in Downpatrick and the cleaning out of the shores. So that would have meant nine agencies in all to try and keep the water out of Downpatrick. So the whole area is very poorly organised. And from the one or two meetings I've attended so far on the Drainage Council, on behalf of Council, I can only say that we can expect things to get worse. So clearly this is something that we need to tackle in a more joined-up manner going forward in this Council and create mechanisms to ensure that we have ways of dealing with it going forward. Thank you.
Chair, just what Councillor Casey says, you see the drains, to be quite honest with you, just as I was coming down the road, out of Ballymartin. I don't know if you know Ballymartin, but there's only really the width of the road between that and Allalong, between the one side of the road to the other, and you're on the shores here. There was a foot of water on it. The drains aren't cleared at all. So we had a meeting, so I had down in Newcastle, so about a parking issue, and we met up with the Transport NI guy, and it was mentioned at that meeting about the drains and about the bloody bridge area by Johnson's Corner and that, and they did clean them out, and actually the road's quite good the other day. Now, out the far Enniskill Keel by Glen Lochan, the water's actually literally running off the mountains into people's homes there now, and that's probably where a similar place to where Henry's talking about. There's one guy rung me and he said he had to send to Kilkeel Harbour to get a pump to pump the house out before the house completely filled. They had a foot of water in it. So the drains issue is going to be a big issue, and I tell you, it's going to have to be sorted out. We in the council are only treating the symptoms. The symptoms need to be cured, so they do, and that is drains need to be properly maintained. Thanks.
Okay, well, we are going to be having a meeting with Transport NI. Henry or Michael, is it anything different?
Yeah, just very briefly, Chair, and I think a lot of councillors have touched on it, but there are solutions to some of these problems, engineering solutions. I know that in Warren Point, probably for the first time in 15 years, we didn't have Claremont Gardens and Charlotte Street flooded because of the wastewater treatment plant that went in last year. But we did have flooding on the Warren Point Restrever Road. The road was closed, it was flooded, and the tide was full out. And you really never saw anything as silly looking in all your life. The road's 20 foot above the beach. The beach is completely empty, and the water didn't get away. Now, it did get away, I think, on the first day, but on the second day, the drains got blocked up and need to be cleared. So I do believe that there are engineering solutions and regular maintenance solutions will not cause half the problems that we're looking at over the past few weeks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Henry, you're the last speaker. Is this different than what Glenn has said?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry for that interference.
No,
Chair,
that's okay.
There was actually a man in the middle of his house being flooded and he was out in sandbags. But as Glenn's pointed out about the road between Kilkeel and Newcastle, it really is dreadful. But the Rivers Agency is going to have to realise that the shocks, the drains and rivers are going to have to be dredged once again. The Rivers Framework Directive, Water Framework Directive of 2000 states that you're not allowed to go into those or you'll be fined. You can't do that work anymore, and we're going to have to try and get a derogation from that directive and be able to do some work, because this is going to get worse. The rivers are silted up so high it takes nothing to flood them now. The shocks aren't allowed to be drained on environmental grounds, so we need to be doing something.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Madam Chair, can I just thank you for allowing speech. It is refreshing for the Chair to be able to give freedom of speech in this chamber. It's a credit to you. Thank you.
You're only saying that now, and by 10 minutes you'll not be saying that anymore. sorry, folks, we've had all the speakers. Just, guys, come on, we've had 25 minutes of this. I'm sure the Chair wants to sit in the hot seat here. Only on item number two. Is it anything different than what we've heard, Councillor?
Yes, Chair. I think mine is. In fact, I don't think there was a proposal. I know Charlie had mentioned the next time Transport NI comes to the council, we deal with this. I think maybe we should be bringing. We should be thinking of bringing Transport NI to a special meeting to deal with a lot of these issues, because I do know that. For an example here, that the minister released money to the different areas for to be spent, and one of the I'll give you one example, that money was to be spent for grass cutting. Now, who cuts grass at this time of the year? And they can't direct it elsewhere. Now, Castlenavon, the Transport NI officials are telling me that can't be used for anything else. Now, the subcontractors who were doing the gully emptying were stood down 5-6 months ago because there wasn't money there that stopped the gully emptying. So I think we need Transport NI for the turn round and come here, and we need to put the issues to them, not wait till they come in June, because I think it's too late in June. And I would make that a proposal that would bring them along.
Right, well, Councillor Walker, I think actually Councillor Burns over here actually already suggested that. So
We can pick up these pints. Transport and I are due. Rivers Agency and Water Service are due, and we can get these issues and send to them in advance for to be dealt with at the meeting.
So it has
copy
been
all councillors.
Yeah. I think we just need to listen to what the other person has said in the past. Sorry, Councillor Andrews, I know you want to speak. I didn't see your thing, so do you have anything different to add? Okay, maybe then we'll move on. Just wanted to congratulate, actually, the Newry Leisure Centre for the swimathon that they had there that raised money for the Kevin Bell repatriation and cancer research. It was a 48-hour swim, went extremely well, and it was very well supported. And I'm not sure about the money, but the staff were excellent, so just to let you know that. And also to commend Newry City for their cup win over Christmas, so well done. Now, we'll just move on to item three then, the appointment of the chair. We note here that the chairperson, Councillor Bailey, has given notice of her intention to resign from the position of chairperson with effect from today, Monday the 4th of January 2016. Appointment of a replacement chair will be conducted in accordance with paragraph 4 of Schedule 1 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014, and a copy attached for the information of members, which I'm sure I'm not going to read out. So, nominating officer is Sinn Féin. Terry? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Gillian, and I would like to start by thanking Naomi for the great effort that she put into her role as chair of the council. I know that her baby's due in 4 weeks, and like she did really make a tremendous effort to fulfil all of her duties. I would like to nominate Councillor Mickey Ruan to replace Naomi for a number of months. Mickey's a very experienced councillor. He has been the chair of Newry and Mourne Council, and he's done a lot of work with the amalgamation of the two councils and that. So I'm going to propose Councillor Mickey Ruan to replace Naomi.
Chair, I'll second Mickey's nomination because he said he'll have us out of here in half an hour. Okay, councillors, just to thank Terry for the nomination and Stevie for sacking it. I'm delighted to accept the role for the next number of months. We get on with the business in hand, and sorry to disappoint Henry, but back to the norm. So on to the action sheet arising from the meeting on the 7th of December. Has anybody any matters arising?
Chairman, most of the actions have been picked up on. I'm happy to take any questions from members. The one issue is that the issue over the rates of the rate support grant, C165, Eileen's helping me here. On the first page there, just the second last one, was to agree a multi-council delegation. That delegation has gone. A letter has now been sent. And now the other councillors have written, or Derry, City and Strabane had asked that we write to MPs and MLAs to advocate on their behalf. And I just want to get agreement for the council that we can write to all the MLAs in their area and send them a similar letter.
If I could get a proposer in a second.
We have a proposer?
Sure.
You have a pick there. I'll take Gareth and Terry, if that's all right. There's proposer and seconder.
Sure. Just a question there. Has there been any response by the two governments to the proposal on the Nora Water Bridge?
On the agenda.
Was it too early for?
Chairman, not yet. As a matter of fact, we've got, I just seen a letter on my desk this morning, just an acknowledgement from the Taoiseach's office. But there's been no firm correspondence, Chairman.
Okay, we move on then to item number 5, minutes of the council meeting on the 7th of December. Has anybody any items they wish to raise within that report? Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think it's page 7. It's referenced the appointments to the Carlingford Lough Commission, and the voting mechanism is just, there's a comment in on page 7 to say that it was agreed unanimously. That's not my recollection that it was unanimous. I think there was quite a bit of discussion about it, and I certainly didn't support the methodology of voting. So it's just a matter of accuracy, Chair, first of all. But it does raise maybe an issue about coming to a decision about voting methodology at the meeting. I think that maybe this should be referred back to the SP, not the decision, but the voting methodology, so that we don't have to go through that process again. So I would propose that we refer it back to the SBR. And the other thing, Chair, I would just like to...
Pardon? Do we need a vote on
it? No, well, I hope not. And the other thing, Chair, is that I also noticed over the period, going back to look to see exactly what was said about the whole thing, our audio minutes, the last audio minutes up on our website is back to July, August. So I'm not sure whether there's a time frame that it needs to be up, but if it came out with these minutes or it was kept up to date, it would certainly help.
Chairman, I can check that out, but my understanding is it should be up on it, but if they're not, certainly we don't, you know, we can check that out. Should be up after the meetings. We make sure that they're up, yeah.
Okay, your comments earlier on, Michael, will be noted, and a paper on the other issue will be brought back to the relevant committee.
Could I make a comment?
Yeah,
same issue. I want to concur with Councillor Carr's comments. In fact, we outlined our very strong concerns that night with regards to the manner in which the vote was taken, and we were very disappointed with the way it was handled. So I would ask certainly that my party's concerns are noted in the minutes as they were outlined that night.
Noted. Okay. Nobody any other issues? We move on.
Yeah, Chair.
Proposer for it.
Chair, could I just add my comments, similar to Councillor Taylor's comments, that we were concerned about the method of voting that night as well.
Okay. Have we a proposer for that item? Councillor Dorn, have we a seconder? Councillor Hyland. Number six, then, is the minutes of the RT&S committee. And everybody has the papers in front of them, so if anybody's any issues they'd like to raise, if they notify us off the page on the item. Henry?
Yeah, I'll propose the minutes, Chairman.
Proposing them. On, have you an issue to raise?
Yeah, just on the planning.
What page is that?
Chairman, there's something wrong with my iPad here. I can't... I had made a note of it earlier on.
Well, go ahead anyway, Henry.
Yeah, it's page 11, Chairman. Sorry.
Page 11.
Well, it's just on the performance indicators that there was a slight dip. Now, I don't know... I'm not on the planning committee, but I've been told that we've only processed half of the planning applications that were processed last year. And there's a growing and increasing frustration, Chairman, that we're just not on top of this game. Now, I know it's new to the council and whatever, but we're going to have to do something radical, absolutely radical, Chairman, to try and get these planning issues sorted out. And the one thing that I raised at that meeting, Chairman, was about the fish farm in Kilkeele. And the chief planning officer told me that there had been movement on it, and he expected big movement in January. Now, the agent and the applicant both tell me that they didn't even get replies from emails. Now, I don't like being misled. I really don't. Because I went and told that man after he asked me, and I said to him what the planning officer told me. And I go back then to the original proposal, Chairman, that the Mourns councillors have a meeting with this developer of the fish farm and the planning service to see can we get this sorted out, because 30, 40 jobs and millions of pounds worth of investment, you know, we're talking about jobs and then we're thumping these people down. It just doesn't make sense.
Chairman, just to say on a couple of issues, again, not getting into planning applications, conscious that, you know, members of the planning committee are here, and think from that point of view, we don't want to get into the detail, but I suppose just maybe to pick up on a couple of things. I think in the paper itself, what we have carried out two sets of interviews and made several letters of offer to bring in additional planners. We have four temporary planners and one full-time new planner in place, certainly before the end of the month. Secondly, is that also contained in the papers is that under SPR is the appointment of a planning consultant with planning experience to look at her plan service can be streamlined to speed up the level of decisions we've done. So, yes, there is radical efforts being taken. A consultant we hope to have with us, you know, before the end of this month, I think. in the next week or so, and hopefully get papers through to council within the next month to 6 weeks in terms of proposals to streamline the planning service within the council.
Okay, Henry. Who's next? Go ahead, Terry.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Just more or less on just the provision of bus shelters. It should read Drummond S, not the provision of bus shelter.
Okay.
But it's important about everything else, and I've got record.
Noted. Terry.
Aye, thank you, Chair. Chair, just in relation to the planning, and I know that Councillor Riley has concerns, as I raised myself on different occasions with Liam, and I know that we're going to do a review, and maybe when this person comes on board and that they'll make changes. But we have to keep in mind that the Rural Development Programme, it's £11 million come into this area, and a lot of that spend will depend on planning. And the first thing they need before they can make an application to that is planning permission. There's also then will come an agricultural one on at the same time, where agriculture sheds, tanks and that will require planning if that goes ahead. You know, so there is a serious crisis there, and I hope that we're taking it very serious.
Okay, Glenn.
Chair, did Terry second that there today?
No, the second the minutes, no.
Well, I'll second them, but just on the planning issue, to be quite honest with you, I know Councillor Riley has raised it. One big issue I have with the planning, so do, and to be quite honest with you, any time you email them or contact them, it's pretty much impossible to get any feedback from them. If you send them an email, all you really get is an acknowledgement, so you do. Funny, today I did get a response from them on four different planning applications. That's the first in months. I honestly think in this review of the planning there, something needs to be done in the planning itself. If councillors make an inquiry, there should be some feedback, so there really should be, because somebody asks you something, all you tell them is, I got an acknowledgement from my email. It's no use. They're looking for some information because they don't seem to be able to get access to it any more than ourselves. So that's one thing that needs to be taken into consideration whenever the planning actually is reviewed. Thank you.
Just on that, Glenn, there is an opportunity for all councillors, if they have any issues or any queries or concerns with the planning, to feed them into the review that they can be looked at and hopefully dealt with. So next, Willie.
Thanks, Chair. It's just in regards to the item about the recycling of old furniture. Just in regards to the terms of expression or for the expressions of interest, and what way that will be written. Will council have an opportunity to view that, requesting, you know, not-for-profit organisations and charities to make, a bid to take on the recycling of the furniture? And the reason I ask is that I would like to see something built in that they work in partnership with the housing associations and the housing executive, in regards to people who move into houses and don't have a stick of furniture. Lots of people come out of care, a lot of people come out of prison, and they don't have the furniture to set up home. I'm thinking of particularly in flats accommodations. You know, it's a severe problem. We've seen a number of cases where people didn't even have a chair to sit on. You know, so I would like to see us tackling that, you know, that disadvantage in regards to allowing the charity or not-for-profit organisation to be able to make a real difference to people's lives, and not just, you know, upgrading the furniture and selling it on, you know. And it might have to be, you know, a twin approach in regards to one element, and I'm thinking like St. Vincent de Paul could work closer, you know, with the housing executive and housing associations in regards to making a difference to people's lives. And then other, like, pop-up art and likes of the Care Centre, who were in the Downpatrick contract, they basically upgraded the furniture and then sold it on behalf of the charity. So there are two different types of approaches that it required.
Canis, do you want to respond to Willie's comments?
Sure, we certainly intend to, in the expression of interest, indicate that it would be not-for-profit and charitable organisations only to apply. It would be very difficult for us to regulate how they then deal with the furniture they take on.
If they want to put in some further restrictions there, we can put in something and bring it back to council for approval. But I suspect if you start putting restrictions in, then you seriously damage your ability to get someone to actually take it on and do it.
Yeah. The point of the ticket is you want to make a real difference to people's lives.
Okay. Is it the same?
Yes.
Yes,
sir. In relation to it, it was actually myself and Councillor Quinn who had this item on the agenda. I do take on board what Councillor Clark is saying, but I believe if you open it up too wide, no one will benefit. And the reason I brought it forward along with Councillor Quinn was we attended a function at Stormont, which the chair was there, Councillor Billy, and that in relation to pop-up art and that and the work they do. They work with vulnerable people coming off drugs, alcohol, whatever. Councillor Quinn mentioned an organisation, I don't know much about them, Space down in Newry. And the reason we had brought it forward was to see if we could help the likes of them two organisations get furniture, because they're on the boat looking for furniture and that, and it's a form of therapy for these people and that. So I think if we branch out more and saying if someone moves into a house and have no furniture and that, I believe, you know, what we had originally asked for is defeating the purpose. So it is, in a sense, but I do totally agree, in a sense, in what Councillor Clark is saying. But the reason we brought it forward in the first place was to try and help these two organisations.
Okay, Colin, the last person on this item. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
Is somebody else
Chair,
there late on?
Could somebody from Eddie's department?
Sorry, Colin, is somebody there late on?
I have my light on.
Mr. Quinn.
Oh, you have your light on. Go ahead then, and then I'll come back to you, Colin.
Well, I would like to agree with what Councillor Walker has had to say. A lot of this furniture that is being upscaled, it is part of a programme.
Anything different to say? This is
part of a programme of therapy. When the furniture is sold on, it's that money that's made from it is put back into providing services for people who have had mental health problems, drug and alcohol problems, and some people who have been released from prison. So to try then and take that income that's coming from the selling of the furniture away, the programmes would no longer be able to run. So I think we have to allow these organisations to know what it is that they're doing instead of putting more stipulations on them. Thank you.
Sorry there, Colin. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just maybe saying, would there be somebody from Eddie's department who could maybe speak to this organisation, because there's bound to be the grounds of a good application for funding there to try and get a programme up and running where they actually get an income from getting furniture together and passing it on to other people. It's maybe not the responsibility of council, but if council will help deliver 10 or 15,000 in for this organisation to be able to take on that work, they might like to be able to do it, if that's possible.
Eddie's nodding
that's
in agreement
fine,
to that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have our proposal in a second.
Sir, just a very simple thing. If you go into Gumtree Free NI, it'll tell you there just now a kid's single bed, free to lift, a bicycle free to lift an hour ago, two-seater 5 hours ago to be lifted, an office desk, pile of stuff. If you want plenty of stuff free, there's no problem.
Proposer and seconder are ready on that one, so we'll move on to item 7, minutes of the ERT committee. Again, you have the pages in front of you. If anybody's any issue, tell us what the page is and the item. Councillor Annis.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Page 2, is just a request. I asked of Marie about the refurbishments to the town hall. I know I spoke to Eddie about this as well, but it's just if somebody could come back to me with specifics as to what the interior works will contain. I'm referring specifically to whether that will incorporate any refurbishment of the seating of the town hall. Maybe Newry Town Councillors might be aware of this already, but if that could be sort of disseminated maybe to the rest of us as well. Maybe you don't have that knowledge to hand now, but...
Don't have him, but he's not here.
Eddie,
Liam, there is a meeting being held with Gavin McVeigh, which is going to take a look at the work that is needed for the inside of the building, because the budget doesn't match all of the work that needs to be done. I've explained to Gavin that he needs to take it back to Marie to put the prioritisation on what is essentially to be done. But, Liam... that would be okay for us to circulate that to you once that is done, but that should be done within the next fortnight.
Thank you.
Okay. Roisin's next then.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, on page 9 of our minutes, there was the item about the proposed listing of events for the next financial year being supported by the Council. I know at that meeting that I asked that there would actually be a special meeting so all councillors and parties could look at those list of events. As whenever we received them, even though there was £500,000 being spent, I think there was about 17,000 coming to South Armagh. So I know certainly since that meeting I have been contacted by numerous groups from South Armagh and as well Newry City, very, very concerned about the lack of events throughout our region. So bear in mind that we have a rates meeting on Friday week. Could we just put a push on that? Because I think we need to be moving quickly on that.
Chairman, we're pulling the papers together for the meeting prior to it, so we're going to have a meeting prior to the rates meeting on events and events only, and then that would be able to be fed into the rates meeting on the 5th and afterwards. So there'll be two meetings held on that day.
I think the concern was, Liam, a lot of these events were, you know, almost legacy events from, and we were told last year that our officers would be having a look throughout the new council district to find new venues to hold events so that all the ratepayers of the new council area felt that their area was getting something. From looking at that, it looks as though we're very close to striking a rate again this year, and have we left it again too late in the year to be making these decisions? You know, has this been presented to us too late? If so, it's very disappointing. So I hope we will be given the time to digest that information and make changes if that's what the councillors feel needs to happen.
Councillor,
yeah, just page 11. It's just really, and we're here really, where I've been asked to endorse the proposal to award or put money, 36,000 aside for the mountain bike NI for the marketing and PR of the mountain bike trails in Kilbroney and the Caswell. It's just that there were some comments made and minuted in the meeting that, you know, local businesses were not benefiting from this. And this may discourage it. You see later on down at the bottom part where we're asking people to come in as a new sponsor. So, just not, we're first of all, asking every councillors, of course, to endorse the recommendation of the committee, but not to send any negative story out in terms of, especially in Restrever, that none of the business were being were feeling the benefits of the mountain bike failure in Restrever. We don't want to discourage people from coming in, and possibly some of the locals actually coming in as a sponsor, not to mention the fact that we've been asked to endorse the 36,000 that has money been well spent. It's just to bring that to the attention of the meeting that certainly I'll be supporting it.
Okay. Any lights on?
Just proposer signer, Chair.
Cadogan.
Just a small question on page 3. I see we're appointing 7 councillors to the Arboretum in Castlewell, and I'm wondering, will that be done at the group leaders' meeting on Wednesday, or how are we planning to make those 7 appointments?
I'm happy to table it for the group leaders, and members are, if the group leaders are happy enough to deal with it at that point in time.
Agreeable, yeah. Okay, agreed. Okay, with no other. Proposer and a seconder. Councillor McAteer. Councillor Robert Burgess. Number 8 then, the minutes of the SPNR committee. Again, you have the pages and items in front of you. If you have any issue to raise, the page number on the item. Seconder for that. Mr. Devon, you want in?
Sorry, Chair, yep, I just want to find the page number. It's to do with the sale of St Mary's site in Newcastle. If I can get a page number for you,
yes,
Chair.
Page 7, Chairman.
Thank you. Just, I know that the news that broke prior to Christmas in respect to the sale of the former site was extremely disappointing for the people in Newcastle and of this district. I had a couple of questions, Chair, with your indulgence. The first couple of questions was for Eddie, and I know that there's an options paper there has been discussed. I suppose just the first question was, when will that be presented back to Council? And secondly, has the Council yet received a copy of the advice from the Charities Commission to the parish of the diocese in respect to the proposed sale? That was a couple of questions for you, Eddie, and then I have a couple for Michael as well, Chair, if that's okay. There's been significant misinformation floating about on social media regarding this issue. I'm supposed to ask Michael in his role in the Legacy Down Council if he can confirm.
Do you want to deal with the first two, and then we'll come on to the next item then?
Fair enough, Chair.
Eddie, do you want to answer the first query?
The Council agreed in the accepted council meeting tonight, Chairman, on the appointment
are going to do the survey. So I've already got a date in the diary for meeting them, Chairman. I would hope to get a paper back for your February meeting, Chairman, but if that is a wee bit too much, Chairman, we definitely would have it available for the March meeting.
Okay. And in terms of the Charities Commission, was there anything further?
Chairman, to date we have received nothing back from the parish and any of the requests Patrick Green has sent through. We've got no information, Chairman.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, then your item to Michael then.
Yep, thank you. So I suppose it's just, Michael, in your role in the Legacy Down Council, can you confirm if £8 million was ever set aside within the rates to build a new leisure centre in Donard Park? That's the first question. And secondly, why the council collectively decided to pursue the St Mary's site instead of progressing with the Donard Park site? Because again, according to the social media, that if this we would be sitting in a new leisure centre in Donard Park if we had to pursue that site. So I'd be keen to hear from an officer's perspective what the facts of the situation are. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mike.
Chair, the situation was that the council had identified the building of the new leisure centre in Newcastle as a priority in its recreation strategy. So there was a notional allocation, I believe, in that particular document of £7 million. I think that subsequently was up to £8 million. There wasn't actually physically money set aside in reserves. It was part of a capital list. So it was a priority capital project, but there wasn't actually any money set aside for it. So when the council, if the council had decided to go ahead and build it, had to have borrowed that money or got it from another source. In terms of the second question, which was...
Yeah, but there was the St Mary's site and there was a Donard Park possible site at that stage. You know, why the council collectively decided not to progress the Donard Park site and to pursue with the purchase of St Mary's? Why was the change of opinion on that?
The first place that changed was the Recreation Committee, where the committee agreed that they had previously agreed that their preferred site would be the Donard Park site. I think their very next meeting they then agreed, because it's a very site is small and it was a brownfield site, that their preferred site was now a Surrey site. I think that was primarily brought around, Chairman, by public opinion at the time, which was very heavily behind the council trying to pursue the brownfield site. So that's my recollection of how it happened. Yep. Donard Park was the preferred site. The council, through the Recreation Committee, agreed that it would now become the Surrey site, would be the preferred site.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Willie, you're up.
Thanks, Chair. Just in response to Councillor Devlin, the scenario that happened, it was in around April 2012, where the council, the full council, took it, the legacy council of Down took a decision that they would, the priority site would be Donard Park. That was proposed by myself, second by Councillor O'Boyle. And part of that proposal was that there would be an indicative budget. I think Michael's outlined there, 7.5 million. But along with the proposal was that we would appoint consultants, develop the business case, and then further the loan sanction in regards to furthering the development of that site. Because we were conscious at the time, as we moved into RPA, if we didn't get planning permission for a new centre and didn't actually have our planning permission in place, our business case in place, and also our loan sanction in place, then when we got into this council format, the project would be dead in the water. Now, other people, other councillors, Sinn Féin was a minority party within that council, and other councillors said that they wouldn't support the Donard Park site. That was both from a number of parties in the chamber, but the main party was the SDLP, who said they wouldn't support the Donard Park site. So I think that's the clarity that we need. Ourselves, along with other parties, then decided that we would go along with the investigation of the St Mary site from the parish, but we'd keep both projects alive. But as we moved as it got closer to RPA, things got more extremely difficult in regards to trying to develop the centre or to develop the proposals on a split site. And then we ended up in a scenario where we had no sites. And that's the scenario we now find ourselves in, that we don't have a site and we're back to square one, as was forecast by Sinn Féin, that was what would exactly happen, that we would end up with no site, no leisure centre, and people then would be pointing the finger of blame at different people, and there would be hostility towards the council for not developing the project. But then we got caught up in a debacle with the parish as well, in regards to hard feeling and anti-feeling to both parties. You know, so I think we did, for people to be now looking for information, before your time, Laura, right now, if you weren't on the council, but I think the clarity needs to be there in regards to what actually happened. And now people are looking for some sort of parachute land when the leisure centre or the site wasn't bought, the money wasn't made available for the site. And this comes at a time when we had 1.5 million going to be made available by the Health Trust as well to put a clinic, to develop a health and wellbeing centre, not just a leisure centre. It was also to be a gateway centre into the Moors to develop tourism. You know, so we can talk all night of what happened and was there money made available. You can't make a money, or you can't take a loan out if you don't have a site, if you don't agree the site, and you don't have your business case in place. So it was an indicative budget that was in place.
Stevie?
Thanks, Chair. Just to back up what Willie's saying, there were some facts. The meeting in question back in the Legacy Council was on Tuesday, September the 11th, 2012, and I have the minute for it here for anybody that wants to view it. It's available on the website. But it was item 12, and like I say, I was getting sick as Chair of constantly having debates about where to build the leisure centre and if to build the leisure centre, and we asked Michael, who was the director at the time, to bring an options paper. And the minute reads, Councillor Burns requested the members make a decision regarding the options for Newcastle. The director informed members that there's an indicative budget of $7.5 million for this project, and he referred to three options. Option one was the pitch beside Donard Park. And if we go to the recommendation then and what was voted on, Council Committee agreed on the proposal of Councillor Willie Clark, seconded by Councillor Carmela Boyle, that we accept option one, which I'll remind you was the car park, Donard Park. And the recommendation was on to tell you about that we need to move a pitch, that we want to go into partnership with the health service. We then met the health service. They agreed an indicative budget on their side of $1.5 million. They had capital money at that time. And we moved forward. And it was later at the stage where St Mary's became available for sale that another party done a flip-flop. And we put it back into that situation that we couldn't go to the rates and make that indicative budget an actual budget because we could not agree the site collectively. And other leisure centres, community facilities, whatever we want to call them, and I'm talking about specifically Downpatrick and Sainfield, are progressing and have moved ahead because the councillors all agreed, and that's what went ahead. And that's why we're sitting in the minute when Newcastle is on an agenda as an options paper to go and have a look and see if a consultant can come back and rescue the situation. But it's very, very simple as far as I'm concerned, and the minute's here for anybody who wants to read it.
Sorry, Billy was in first before
then. Sure, come in. Thank you very much. On the same issue, I'm a bit sad here that the blame game has started, and Newcastle leisure facility has been used as a political football, and that democratically at the time when the final vote was taken, they agreed to go with the school site. Now, as far as I'm concerned and our party's concerned, we supported it, the school site. The blame game and the blame lies with the parish, not any political party. There was gentlemen's agreements. The parish were agreeing to sell that, and I'm sure previous speakers would agree with that and what I'm saying. They reneged. They tried to get a bigger price out of council. They kept up on the price, saying they had another person that was interested or people interested. They kept moving the goalpost. So firmly, I'm laying the blame firmly at the door of the parish. They reneged to the old Down Legacy Council, whether we like it or not. And it saddens me whenever we're fighting and arguing to try and get a state-of-the-art leisure facility, and I keep saying it, I believe Newcastle is our premier destination in the new super council. Some councillors maybe not like that. I come from the northern end. I'm happy enough to say that Newcastle is a premier destination within our district. But let's work together and trying to achieve and get some for Newcastle, rather than political parties blaming each other. Because Councillor Burns, I remember saying from the chair, whenever the political parties couldn't agree in Newcastle, he commended the Rowan councillors, and I thanked them for it, because we worked together to agree on one site in Saintfield. So let's work together rather than turn it in to a political football.
Okay, Laura, I will take you in a second time, but just for everybody's reference, I'll let it go tonight, but as of the next meeting I have to chair from then on, each person will be taken in once on each item.
Thank you, Chair, and I appreciate your indulgence. And again, this 7 million, 8 million figure, which is a notional figure, and I'm glad that Sinn Féin now are saying that it wasn't a real figure, because in social media they were saying very clearly that this 8 million was set aside in the rates, and whenever that 8 million and the project, then that money was spread out elsewhere. So I'm glad to see that they are actually admitting to that now. But maybe just for perspective, Michael, can I maybe ask you, in terms of this notional recreation strategy, what was the total value, can you remember, of all the projects? Because I know there was a lot of projects on that list. Have you any idea of what the total value of the schemes on that list would have amounted to?
Chair, I haven't got the exact figure in front of me, but it was probably 33 million, something like that.
So there was a number of other schemes on the list as well?
Yeah, well, the Downpatrick scheme was in it, there was the Ballinahead scheme, there were a number of 3G pitches and playgrounds and other things, so yeah, okay. Well over 30 million.
Thank you. And just one other point. In terms of Donner Park, whenever a brownfield site became available, we couldn't look at eroding a green space. We had to look at the brownfields up. It was the best site at that time, and what's happened since then has been very, very disappointing. But you also talk about the blame game, which Councillor Walker has alluded to there. You know, we all sat in Newcastle and we were all collective. There were six voices on the one page in terms of what we wanted to do with facilities for Newcastle. So again, the minute that things don't go according to plan, everybody just goes back into their trenches and points fingers at everybody else, which among the community isn't the best way for us to behave, and I don't think it's appreciated by people. I think we all need to work together and see what we can do to move forward for the greater good of Newcastle and for this district. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Daglan?
Yeah, Chair, not on this issue. Is that happy enough?
What is the issue then?
Yeah, it is. It's actually pertinent to the committee.
Tell me what page it's on and where the item is.
It's on the purchases. And it's, yeah, when I explain, hopefully you will understand.
Is it on the agenda, Daglan?
It is. It's not.
No,
but
sorry,
it's not entirely on the agenda.
I'll move on then. Glyn, you're next. I'll ask you to turn your light off, Daglan. Thank you. Glyn.
Chair, just on the centre in Newcastle, to be quite honest with you, Newcastle is pretty much the only area in our council area that has large populace that doesn't have a good community centre now. A Warren Point's only a wee place. You pass through it.
Is that wee place you marched through last year, Glyn?
Well, did you see me? You didn't re-rip me anyway, so you didn't.
Oh, see, I seen you with your big drum. Go ahead, Glyn.
Well, just on...
I seen you all.
Just on that, Chair, Newcastle, to be quite honest with you, is one of the largest populous areas that doesn't really have a state-of-the-art community centre.
You'd be better starting again and remove that remark and continue on with the rest of it.
Well, put it this way, Newcastle does need this, and to be quite honest, I know Wally's pointing fingers in one hand and saying who's to blame. Fair enough, I wasn't in the council at the time, but one thing we do need to do is we need to get our act together, to be quite honest with you. Should we look at another site other than the Donard Park or wherever, but we do need to get something organised in Newcastle to get this whole project moving forward. Yep.
Have you a seconder for that item number 8, the minutes? Councillor Willie Clark seconder. So then we move on to item 9, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee.
I have another item on the PNR. I didn't realise you moved on.
If you can go very quickly, Colin.
You are very quick, Chair. Chair, it's the item near the back about the health draft terms of reference for the health forum, which we had made reference to being unhappy with, and then they went back for reassessment, the group leaders, and then it's come back again with no change. But I'd be very disappointed to see that if we start the health forum without any form of reference to the Down Hospital and the work that's going there, and some proposal to try and take forward an initiative to try and help safeguard and preserve the services that are there. So there is a task and finish group to advocate for the continued A&E at Stroke Services at Daisy Hill. But given that we've got two health boards, given that we've got two main hospitals within our area, could I ask an additional task and finish group be established to look at the range of services provided within the Down Hospital over the last number of years, what's been removed, what's planned for the future, what capacity there is for service provision at the hospital, and that we do all we can to try and enhance and preserve health services at the Down Hospital. One only has to look over the weekend where the Ulster Hospital was under serious pressure, absolutely serious pressure in its accident and emergency. And it is, as ever, a chain. If you follow that chain through, the people can't get seen in A&E because the beds in A&E are blocked. They are blocked because they can't get people up onto the ward because the corridors are filled. The corridors are filled because they can't get people into the beds. The beds are filled because they can't get them out. And yet we have a hospital sitting down here with spare capacity in terms of floor space. So if there was the provision of additional wards, it could help right round. So if we were able to have a task and finish group that was able to examine all of those issues and work with the local health committee to be able to try and deliver the best services for the Down Hospital.
Taking on board the issues you've raised, Colin, is that something that two issues can be discussed at the group leaders and come to an arrangement?
No, I think, Chair, it's there as a proposal for the task and finish for Daisy Hill, so I would like to think that we can just make it as a proposal for the Down Hospital.
And it is a task and finish, yeah.
Two tasks, two forums, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you want an task and finish, my understanding, task and finish forum set up to look at services, loss of services within the Down Hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if we can get, so we agree that the two of them just get that amendment done, and then we can bring it back to party reps about the numbers on each of them and how we select.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, be happy with that.
Okay. Item 9 then, the minutes of the active and healthy communities. Henry, no, I'm gone from that, Henry.
No, I had my light flash.
No, you didn't. Number 9.
Chairman, I had my light flash.
Number 9. Has anybody any items to raise?
Chairman, you can't.
Minutes? Oh, I can, Henry, you'll find.
I went through due process to ask a question and to make a point.
I already had moved off. Sorry, Henry. Sorry, Henry. Well, if you're going to behave the way you are, yes, I am.
You're going to act like that. Is that the way you're going to act for the rest of this term?
Yes.
Well, you're a disgrace, Chairman.
Well, fair play to you. Minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee. Can I have a proposer and a seconder? Propose Councillor Burns. Have we a seconder? Have we a seconder? Councillor Ennis. Has anybody any issues to wish to raise? Has anybody any issues they'd like to raise? Has anybody any issues to raise? Has anybody any issues?
You cannot deny an elected councillor the right to speak.
You're speaking very loudly, Henry, unless you're deaf.
Let me speak,
no, I'm not going to let you speak on
you
that item because we had passed it.
You cannot deny an elected councillor the right to speak. I am making this an official complaint to you, Chairman. You cannot deny an elected councillor the right to speak.
I've moved on from the item.
You've
moved
on from the item. You've brought Colin in for that issue. Yeah. The right to speak and not issue.
I had moved on from item number 8. I then took Colin back in. Listen, I am quite sure that I had moved on, Henry.
Now, this is a point of order, Chairman. You go and read the Code of Conduct and read the rights, the rules governing this chamber.
That's
you cannot deny an elected representative in this chamber the right to speak on an issue if he so indicates, he or she.
Chair, on a point of order which might help with point
you're
of order
a
point
you're
of order which might help Councillor Riley.
I thought you called me a bully boy there for a minute, Henry.
Chair, a point of order to help Councillor Riley, could we ask for clarification if a member does have their light on, are we able to move on or are we not? I think it's important, in fairness to Councillor Riley, and I don't normally agree with him, his light was on from that. I did see it from the corner of my eye, but
Colin,
I don't know.
I did take you
ask?
Back in after I'd moved on from the item previously.
Yeah, I'm just asking for the clarification. It might help us because a clarification to be made.
Sure. I had moved on, Colin.
Sure, I haven't spoken on any issue in this, so I would ask for that clarification.
Clarification on what?
On the fact that I moved on from the
Councillor
McGrath and Councillor Riley have asked for.
I clearly moved on from the
It's important that councillors...
Are you
are able to make, given the opportunity to speak, and I am asking for a point of order for clarification.
I think
you're fine,
Mr. Chairman. Can move on to the next item.
Henry. You have to recognise the rights of elected members of the chairman.
And I have done so. Henry, you can't bully people.
No, you can't bully people. I'm not trying to bully people. I'm trying to assert my rights.
Well, I think your behaviour is saying otherwise. I don't think anybody else likes the way you're behaving.
You can't deny me that right to speak.
I have moved on from the item, Henry. Listen, Henry, no matter what you say, it's not going to change my opinion of the fact that I had moved on from the item.
Well, then I just sit here and shout all night.
You do that every week anyway.
I'm fully entitled to do that.
Okay.
I'm fully entitled to it.
Are you going to allow somebody to respond to you, Henry?
I haven't spoken on that issue. I'm allowed to speak on that issue.
No.
And if there's other speakers, they get priority. But I'm also allowed a second speaker.
Not if I have moved on. Not if I have moved on.
No,
sorry, Liam, go ahead.
German, you have moved on.
I had moved on.
You have not moved on.
Liam is going to respond
here.
No,
you can't do that, Chairman.
Can't do what?
You can't just bully an elected member and say he's not allowed to speak in something in this chamber. You can't do that.
Chair, we've asked for a point of order.
Sorry, Mickey. No. Henry, Liam is going to respond to you now.
I thought he said that.
I know,
thank
but
you.
He's not listening to you.
Thank yeah. you, Chair.
Chairman, the code of conduct in terms of members' contacts paragraph 25.1 request to speak. When a member speaks to the council, he stroke she must address the meeting to the chairperson. If one person requests to speak, the chairman person will ask one person to speak and others must remain silent. When the chairman addresses the meeting, any member speak at the time, 25.2, the meeting must remain silent. 25.3, member not to be heard further. If at a meeting any member of the council misconducts himself or persistently disregarding the rule of the chair or behaving irregularly, improperly or offensively by willfully obstructing the business of the council, the chairperson or any other member may move the member may not be heard. The motion of second should be put and determined without further discussion. And finally, point 28, interpretation of standing orders. The ruling of the chairperson as to the interpretation, construction or application of any of these standing orders or any proceedings of the council should not be challenged by any at any meeting of the council. There are the standing order items.
Item number 9, has anybody any issues to raise? Any items? Colin, are you looking in on an item of number 9?
No, Chair, it's in response to the point of order that was made. I think the point of order that I'd asked the Chief Executive has clearly indicated that Councillor Riley had a right to speak there, so I would make that a proposal that he be heard.
Councillor Hyland.
It's not the case that appears me. Chairpersons don't see lights at all. And I think that we should defer that in mind.
Davey, I think people are missing the point. I have let anybody in who raised an issue within the agenda. I had actually moved on from item number 8 to number 9, and that is the only reason that I didn't take him. If he wishes to speak from item 9 to item 14, he's more than welcome to speak. But that was an extra item that was thrown in at the end by Colin. If Colin hadn't spoken on it, he wouldn't have even taken the issue up. Number 9 then. Anybody, any issue? Please do. Number 9, any issues?
We're closing in a second. I think we've got them yet.
Okay. Number 10 then, foreshore at the Newry River and Carlingford Lough, Magan and Rochever and Balnarran.
Eddie's taking that, Chairman.
Number 10.
Chairman, this is a report that has been completed by Patrick Green. Members are asked to note the contents of the report. The background is that the council are currently trying to review the bulkhead force release with the trend.
Eddie, can you put
your light
on, Eddie?
Sorry, Chairman. Go back to the start, Chairman. Members are asked to note the contents of the report and agree the recommendations. The background, the council are currently trying to renew the above head foreshore lease with the Crown Estate. That expired in 2012. The matter has been ongoing for some time as a number of issues have arisen. There's a new access roadway to the rear of number 2 to 62 St Mary Street. The council has to decide whether or not they wish to take the responsibility for the roadway. Chairperson, the recommendation from officials in that is that the council do not take the responsibility. The road was constructed by the Rivers Agency without for the consultation that the responsibility would lie with the council. Therefore, we would be recommending that we don't take the responsibility for this, Chairman. This section behind the houses at Mary Street is fraught with a lot of problems, Chairman. And again, I would reinforce that we would recommend that the council do not accept that. Number B there, Chairman, is encroachment by Lord Ballyedmond on the foreshore at the Carnarford Lock. Council to decide if they agree to the proposed extraction. That's really a political issue, Chair, and we would need to take for the comments of all the councillors before we would make for the recommendation on that, Chairman, but that's all in Appendix B. The proposed coastal path at Killowen, Restrever, council to decide if they agree to the possible future costs associated with mending and having a new lease drawn up to include the above works. The recommendations, as you can see there, Chairman, council do not accept responsibility for the alleyway. Council concedes small disputed area subject to the approval of all of the councillors, which I said earlier, and the council agreed to being responsible for the possible future legal costs associated with amending and having a new lease drawn up to include works relating to the proposed coastal path. Chairman, and all the background and the papers are there, Chairperson.
Okay, Councillor Kerr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I'll not speak to item A. I think it probably makes sense and don't have any problem with it. But items B and C, I think, do cause me some concern, particularly since we had a meeting about this not so very many weeks ago, and the feeling of the council wasn't, or the councillors at that meeting wasn't as per the proposal that's come before us. I just want to make a few points here, Eddie, if that's... The small disputed area, this is item B, is critical to access or right away along the shore. So even though it's a small area, it is a critical piece of land. The council was asked and agreed to put this dispute on hold until after the Tullahogue Lane right-of-way issue was resolved. So even though there's some comments there from the Crown Estate about council not enforcing their duties over the illegal parts of the harbour, if you like, the previous council, the legacy council, put that to one side until everything was sorted out and agreed with the Tullahogue Lane, which in effect is item C. Now, there is a big issue or a big question that if we are forced to accept this extraction, should we really then have any lease on the foreshore at all? Because we're there as guardians, and we're now sort of saying, but this is a wee bit tricky here. There's a dispute over this. People have done things they shouldn't have done. Let that go out of the lease. Well, if we let that go out of the lease, we're no longer guardians. And I would question then whether we should have any lease on the foreshore. With reference C, I don't understand why we would accept future legal costs associated with a new proposed coastal path when it is not our proposal. We only reluctantly, and I have to say reluctantly, agreed to the proposal which was to be paid for in full by the Ballyedmond Estate. And that was dependent on planning approval and approvals from the NIEA and other protection agencies. So why would we pick up that tab, I have to say. Rather than make this decision tonight, because I think this is a big decision for this council, and yet it comes, you know, it's quite abbreviated there. Could I propose that this is brought back to a special meeting of the Mourns and Cropleave councillors and any other interested councillors for further detail? Our own group met tonight. I went to try and explain it to them. And here, that's not an easy job. And it's not going to be an easy job in the process of this meeting. So all I'm saying to you is that it's a very complicated process. It's been going on for many, many years before I came on to council in 2001. And it's there, and now we're getting a very brief two-page summary saying, this, I think this is the way you should go. And in the way that we're going, we're just handing it all over. And if that's the way we go, then so be it. But then I would question, should we have any part of the lap police? Should we not give that responsibility back to the Crown Estate? So, sorry for going on, Chair. But
Chairman, I fully accept, Chairman. I think it is fair to say that the detail of this is absolutely massive. And it would be fair also to say that the majority of the councillors who are here would be unaware of all of the detail, as this has been going back into the 80s, Chairman. So if the council accept this, Chairman, what we can do is set up a meeting of the councillors out of the Mourns, out of the Crockleave, and any other, of course, the interested the councillor, and go through a detailed report on the presentation of actually what is involved. The problem you face, particularly with item B, is the issue regarding enforcement on the lease lies with the council, and because the council at that time did not enforce that, Chairman, it does leave you slightly open. But I'll not get into the full detail of that, Chairman. And if I can say on Appendix C, Chairman, my understanding of that is that the council would be responsible for their legal cost, for our side of the legal costs, not for the other side, Chairman, who are taking the responsibility for the planning application, for the structural engineers report, etc., Chairman. But let us have that meeting, Chairman, if that is the wish of the council.
Okay, Councillor Kerr.
Is somebody just a second, that Chairman?
Just to make a comment, I'm just a bit concerned that we shouldn't do anything here that would mitigate against the coastal path running around the whole of the down area. I think there's a general consensus that the coastal path will be the biggest and most important tourism venture that we will engage in over the next 10 years. And if, for some particular reason, in a particular area, particular problems, we need to overcome those problems, because we cannot afford, as an area, to fail to reap the benefits that they've reaped, say, for instance, in Wales, with their coastal path. I mean, this could and will be the biggest thing we've ever done if we pull it off. So I'm just anxious that we don't leave a gap in our coastal path.
Chairman, can I just say, Chairman, then it would be essential that the meeting is held on site first and we go back into one of the buildings, Chairman, for the meeting, because unless you actually see it, Chairman, you'll not find all the maps will show you a certain amount. But I think it would be best if we met on site and showed everybody that, Chairman, and then went back into the town hall for the meeting on it, Chair.
Harold?
Chairman, I would second Councillor Kerr's proposal. I chaired that particular meeting or a series of meetings, and we did meet on site in the Legacy Council on that site. And to be honest with you, you need to be there to see what is happening. We did put up an alternative and it was overruled. Lord Ballyedmond came up with his alternative, which he was going to pay $1.24 million, I believe, to put a walkway around the outer coast, and that was all subject to NIA and coastal agencies and all of that. So that's where that was, as far as I know. So I think it's best to leave it. It is quite a big issue, and we would leave it to get a better look at it and have that site meeting for all to see. Thank you.
Jarlif.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I just want to concur with the previous speakers. I would have to give way to Councillor Carr and his experience on looking at this issue, Chair. And I'm delighted to hear from Eddie there that we're going to have a more in-depth meeting and discussion on this. I was unable to make the last meeting. It is something I'm very interested in, the rights-of-way issue, because, Chair, in my lifetime, I could name about six rights-of-ways that have been closed off on Carnarvon Lock.
Yeah.
And I'd be afraid that another one like this here will just open the floodgates for people to bypass council and go straight to Crown Estate. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, I take it, Councillor Kerr and Harold, your proposal will be a proposal for the item itself then, with your comments noted and taken on board. Yeah, for the item.
But it's taken back to a special meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
That hasn't happened with the item. You might want to do it.
Yes, Chairman, go back to item A, Chairman.
Sorry, Chair, just before you go back to item A, I had wanted to say something about B and C. As from the Legacy Council, the issue that I raised was these two breaches in the foreshore being dealt with separately. I'm glad to see now that they're coming together to Council, because both of these are inextricably linked. One is dependent on the other. And if we let both of these be enforced by Lord Ballyedmond, we are cutting quite a chunk out of the foreshore and a right of way for people. And I think we should seriously be opposing this. Because, as we have heard over the years, the residents from that area very strongly object, and they wish to assert their right to use that foreshore. And I think as part of this redevelopment, maybe we should go out and reassess the opinion of the residents in that area. Are their opinions still as strong or stronger from what I'm hearing from a whole lot of them, that the council have let them down?
Councillor Quinn, as has been requested from Councillor Carr and seconded by Harold, we have a meeting. I will say also there was a meeting not long before Christmas where all these issues were put before the councillors, and our staff went to great detail to put numerous different maps in front of us as well, and unfortunately there was only about three or four councillors at it. So I would advise all those councillors from the two areas who are being invited to turn up at the next one. I'm only saying, I didn't say you specifically, Brian, but I was talking about the numerous councillors who weren't at it.
Yeah. Chair, I couldn't make it either. There was no council meeting, though. No.
John, can you go back? Okay, can we?
Chair, just on that point, Chair, and when we're setting the meeting up, can we ensure that the master diary doesn't clash with another council meeting?
Chairman, I think that is an excellent point, Chairman, because this meeting will take 2 to 3 hours, Chairman, just to go through all the detail. It's massive. The amount of detail. Chairman, if you want to go back to that, to Appendix A, Chairman, which is the access road to the rear of 2 to 62. Chairman, I think the council seemed to accept that officials are saying is because this road was developed as part of the flood scheme there, Chairman, but there was no negotiation on the council taking the responsibility for it, is that the council do not accept that property, Chairman. It is fraught with a lot of issues, Chairman. There's a lot of dumping on it. There's a problem with the access into it, Chairman. So the recommendation is that we do not accept that as a part of the lease agreement, Chairman.
Have the residents been consulted with that?
No, Chairman, no. No, Chairman. Because it is not our land, Chairman.
Could we add that on, Eddie?
We can arrange to consult with them, Chair. We've done it in the past, Chair. They're fully aware of the feelings of the council.
Maybe, first of all, add it on to that meeting.
That's okay, Chairman.
We'll discuss and decide where we go.
Chairman, can we agree that we issue tomorrow is just a letter to each of the houses, Chairman, just to inform them about what is the recommendation and ask them for their comments for that meeting, Chair?
Okay, we're all agreed, yeah.
Okay.
Do we need to move that on, Eddie, or can we get agreement?
No, we will do that now. We'll do that now.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Items number 11, which is correspondence received from the post office. Again, that's probably more for noting. Is everybody okay with that? Yep. And then again, number 12, correspondence received from the Assembly regarding the Department's Bill. Again, for noting. Everyone happy? And Liam will take us through the next items up to 16.
Yeah, Chairman, the next three items are consultations, one on the use of seatbelts for child passengers 3 to 13, regulations regarding the contact of passengers and drivers in public service vehicles, the new interim structure for school development service, and transport regulations, Uni Northern Ireland applications. Again, there are issues that we don't have any comments on to it. We weren't going to go back in the consultation, so unless any members have some points they want to raise, we can make responses. There's various dates on them there, but I don't know if my members have got any comments they want to raise or anything they want to bring forward for more comment.
No, is everyone happy enough then? Move on to note all those four items?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, then we move on to 17 and 18, and these items are restricted in accordance with Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act.
Yes, Chairman. Yes, Chairman, we just waited. I'm going to hand out a document now to members, and then I'll take you through it.
You've read that out in terms of information.
Is that a bigger paragraph or
no, it's not there.
until Janet comes in. Just a few councillors, I think, have popped out. We'll just give them a few seconds to come back in.
Just let members read. Give members a chance to read the letter. Anyhow, and then I'll take you through the salient points in it, Chairman. Just for members are reading it, I'm giving this out in strictest confidence, and I must be returned to the end of the meeting. Not that I don't trust councillors, but one thing about going into mediation is a highly confidential process, and therefore you can't disclose any details of the mediation until the mediation has been concluded, and the mediation hasn't been concluded yet. But I need council's approval on a direction of travel, and that's why I brought it to you today. So I'll let you continue on reading.